Have you ever wondered why some children thrive while others struggle despite similar circumstances? Dr. Ruth Peter's groundbreaking book, Laying Down the Law, offers a compelling answer. Consistent boundaries create secure, capable children. This isn't just another parenting manual. It's a roadmap for raising responsible humans that has influenced millions of families worldwide. Celebrities like Jennifer Garner and Reese Witherspoon have publicly endorsed Peter's practical approach, which stands out in a crowded field of contradictory parenting advice. The book's cultural impact is undeniable, having sparked conversations about the importance of parental authority in an era when many adults feel increasingly hesitant to set limits. What makes this work particularly powerful is Peter's blend of psychological expertise with real-world application, something that resonates deeply with overwhelmed parents seeking clarity in their most important job. Our children may be intellectually sharper than previous generations. Average IQ scores have risen 24 points since 1918, but many aren't applying this intelligence wisely. The statistics tell a troubling story. 70% of high schoolers admit to using cigarettes, nearly half have tried marijuana, and half report being sexually active. 1 in 7 children between ages 10 to 18 will run away from home, and America leads developed nations in teenage pregnancy rates. The fundamental issue isn't intelligence, but values. Children raised with a sense of entitlement or inconsistent Teflon rules, those that slide off without consequences, never truly grasp life's fundamental laws. They often mature into bitter adults who blame others for their failures rather than taking responsibility. This is precisely why establishing a family code of values is essential. It clarifies what your family stands for and which behaviors you promote or prohibit. A family without a formalized value system operates like a team without a game plan, chaotic and ineffective. Your code should recognize attributes and principles central to each member's well-being while setting reasonable expectations. Many parents avoid establishing these codes, claiming they're taking one day at a time, or reluctant to change their own behavior. But if you're not actively teaching values, their peer group certainly will, a concerning alternative. Remember that children who need guidance most are often least attentive to subtle lessons. The code must be formally presented in family meetings and reinforced through consistent actions and reactions. Though children may tire of hearing phrases like, "We believe in work before play," these principles provide essential structure that influences them into adulthood. Many parents mistakenly equate discipline with punishment, making them reluctant to enforce boundaries. While dictionary definitions include words like control and punishment, discipline actually represents the most important parental behavior children need for healthy development. Without proper discipline, children grow into self-absorbed individuals who believe the world revolves around them, struggle with relationships and employment, and often blame their parents for their failures. Discipline is fundamentally a teaching process where parents serve as professors and children as students. It involves structuring expectations, establishing boundaries, and applying consequences to build frustration tolerance, perseverance, and self-discipline. Whether you're in a two-parent household where one takes the primary disciplinarian role or parenting solo, ensuring clear limits and consistent consequences creates more organized lives and develops successful, self-confident children. To implement effective discipline, make it mandatory in your family values. Clarify expectations between all adults involved in child rearing to ensure everyone understands limit setting and consequences. Learn to agree to disagree when parents have different priorities. Children watch how you resolve differences. Enlarge your circle of influence by including grandparents, nannies, and other caregivers in specific discussions about timeouts, privileges, and consequences. After adults align on the approach, sit down with the children to explain why discipline matters. Even if they grumble, stick with your plan. It's not just your right to teach discipline, but your responsibility as a parent. Remember that discipline isn't about controlling children, but preparing them for a world that will have expectations and consequences regardless of how they were raised. Peace at any price parenting represents the most common mistake parents make today. When parents lack the courage to set boundaries, they cave to children's demands for temporary relief, inadvertently teaching kids that tantrums and manipulation work effectively. Consider Colleen and Gary, who fell into this trap due to their hectic lifestyle and the momentary peace gained from giving in to their son David's demands. David quickly learned to manipulate through tantrums, knowing precisely when to create chaos to get his way. Though bribing with toys and treats seemed easier short-term, it taught David to raise the stakes with increasingly disruptive behavior. When he threatened to jump from a moving car to get fast food, his parents finally sought help. The solution required creating a backup plan with real consequences, one parent staying home with David during tantrums while the other attended siblings' events. After weeks of consistent discipline, David developed self-control, and the entire family benefited from the improved atmosphere. The peace-at-any-price approach may seem easier initially, but the long-term cost escalates dramatically as children grow, from $12 toys to $80 jeans to demands for SUVs. Parents must accept children's disappointment and establish themselves as authority figures to be respected, not doormats to be manipulated. To avoid becoming a peace-at-any-price parent, first, get realistic about what you can provide in time, attention, and money. Second, stop equating giving with good parenting. Giving in only rewards demanding behavior. Third, develop backbone by starting small, saying no to inconsequential requests to build confidence. Fourth, ignore guilt tactics from children. Finally, recognize that being a doormat is demeaning. Take a stand to regain both your children's respect and your own dignity.
Parents must appoint themselves benevolent dictators, kind and compassionate, but with the final vote. Families aren't democracies. Children lack the maturity for equal decision-making power. This benevolent dictator style means parents listen to children's input but maintain final authority. When 7-year-old Elisa's parents surrendered control to her, she became bossy and demanding, even influencing major purchases like the family minivan. By contrast, Marcus's parents ran a successful benevolent dictatorship where children were heard but adults made final decisions. This approach avoids the chaos of child-run households while showing respect by listening to children's views. For important matters, having children put arguments in writing helps filter out trivial complaints while ensuring serious concerns receive proper consideration. This written approach helps children think through their requests more carefully and often eliminates impulsive demands. To establish a benevolent dictatorship, first, understand the spectrum from child-run autocracy to democratic family to benevolent dictatorship. Second, consider your children's ages and maturity levels when determining appropriate decision-making power. Third, parents must present a united front when making decisions, discussing options privately when needed. Fourth, be prepared to withstand complaints when enforcing necessary rules. Finally, allow children control over minor decisions to build decision-making skills while maintaining authority over important matters.
Effective behavior change comes from clearly connecting consequences to actions. As a behavioral psychologist, Dr. Peters believes changing behavior leads to attitude change, not vice versa. Children must learn they're masters of their destiny. What they do determines what happens to them. This learning begins at birth and grows more complex with age. Children who understand this connection think before acting, show less impulsivity, and achieve greater social and academic success. Unfortunately, many parents prevent this learning by fixing problems, defending inappropriate behavior, or ignoring issues altogether. Consider Chance, whose intellectual gifts weren't matched with responsibility. His poor study habits eventually caught up with him, despite his natural intelligence, resulting in community college instead of his dream university. Parents should use everyday moments to teach this connection through consistent consequences for both positive and negative behaviors. Children aren't born understanding consequences, but the training begins almost immediately after birth. From learning that crying brings comfort as newborns to understanding classroom behavior in preschool, children continuously develop their grasp of cause and effect. As they progress through school, the stakes get higher. Disorganization leads to poor grades in middle school, while high school brings serious consequences for choices about driving, substance use, and academics.
To implement this law effectively, start early, but know it's never too late. Take advantage of teachable moments without constant criticism. Guard against entitlement by making children work for privileges. Model good behavior yourself, since children are watching, and never assume children will learn this connection without your guidance. Even if consequences seem like double jeopardy, ensuring your child understands this connection is essential to their value system.
When families struggle with children's behavior, they often try various tactics that initially work, but quickly lose effectiveness. Rather than giving up, parents should implement a structured behavior management system with clear expectations and meaningful consequences. This approach provides the structure all families need through four key steps. First, develop two essential lists: an expectations list containing daily chores, making beds, completing homework, feeding pets, and a behavior list, tracking problematic attitudes, talking back, whining, fighting with siblings. Focus on tasks important to daily functioning rather than overwhelming children with too many responsibilities. Second, determine reasonable allowances for missed expectations and behavioral issues. For 7 or more chores, allow 2 to go unfulfilled. For 5 or fewer, perhaps just 1. To receive credit, children must complete tasks without complaint, on time, and correctly. For behavior, start by allowing 8 bad points per day, then gradually reduce this number as behavior improves. Track everything on a weekly chart posted visibly in the home. Third, link behaviors with meaningful consequences using a token system with 5 types of rewards: red poker chips for allowance purchases, blue chips for clothing or special toys, white chips for special privileges, plus access to electronics and other privileges. This tangible reward system helps children clearly see the connection between their behavior and outcomes. Fourth, and most critically, be consistent. Many parents set up excellent systems but fail to follow through, either fearing their children's anger or lacking motivation to enforce consequences. Without consistency, even the best-designed program becomes ineffective. When parents commit to consistent enforcement, marking bad points, withholding privileges, and maintaining accountability, families experience real benefits: more compliant children, less parental nagging, and a genuinely pleasant home atmosphere. For especially defiant or unmotivated children, consequences must be catastrophic to be effective. Mild punishments like short timeouts or minor privilege losses often have no impact. Effective consequences must be clear, catastrophic, and consistent, either hitting the child's wallet, possessions, or boring them to tears. When properly implemented, these stronger consequences produce remarkable turnarounds in behavior, improved parental confidence, and children who suddenly develop better hearing and responsiveness. To make consequences truly effective, identify what your child values most: possessions they collect or cherish, activities they enjoy, or tasks they dislike. Consider removing prized items permanently, donating them, restricting all privileges for 24 hours, assigning disliked chores, or using extended timeouts in boring locations. Establish clear if-then rules connecting specific behaviors with specific consequences, and introduce the system through a family meeting. The results will be immediate and dramatic improvements in compliance. This approach isn't about being mean, it's about being effective. Children need to understand that serious misbehavior brings serious consequences. When they realize you're willing to follow through consistently, most children quickly adjust their behavior to avoid these outcomes. Any substance used by children constitutes abuse. There's no distinction when it comes to minors. Today's drugs are more potent and readily accessible than ever before, with substances increasingly showing up in middle and high schools. The average age of first drug exposure has dropped to 13 years old, with some children encountering drugs as early as elementary school. Beyond traditional concerns about alcohol and cigarettes, parents now face unprecedented challenges with vaping devices, synthetic opioids, prescription medication abuse, and designer drugs that can cause permanent brain damage.
The accessibility of drugs has expanded through social media and online sources, making it easier for teens to obtain substances without adult awareness. Seemingly innocent products like flavored vape pens often contain dangerous chemicals, while prescription medications taken from home medicine cabinets pose serious risks. Even common household products can become dangerous when used as inhalants, demonstrating how ordinary items may enable substance abuse. Zero tolerance is the only appropriate stance, backed by research showing that early intervention prevents long-term substance abuse issues. To effectively enforce this policy, parents should implement multiple strategies. Maintain ongoing, age-appropriate conversations about substance abuse and its consequences. Analyze media messages together, discussing how movies, music, and social media often normalize drug use. Practice role-playing scenarios where kids can rehearse refusing drugs and alcohol. Model responsible behavior by avoiding drugs and demonstrating healthy stress management. Establish clear family rules about substance use with consistent consequences. Create open communication channels so children feel comfortable discussing peer pressure. Know your children's friends and their family's attitudes towards substance use. If concerns arise, parents shouldn't hesitate to implement drug and alcohol screening tests. Studies show that 62% of teens would avoid drugs if they knew their parents conducted regular testing. While some parents worry about damaging trust, research indicates that consistent monitoring actually strengthens parent-child relationships by demonstrating genuine concern for their well-being. Modern testing methods are now discreet and accurate, providing parents with reliable tools for enforcement. Combined with clear consequences and support systems, testing can be part of a comprehensive prevention strategy. The stakes involving brain development, academic performance, and future opportunities are simply too high to risk avoiding this issue. Parents must remember that their primary role is protection, not friendship, during these crucial developmental years. Smart parenting means choosing your battles wisely, rather than fighting over every issue. Parents who constantly confront their children about minor matters risk losing influence when truly important issues arise. The key is determining which behaviors will matter in the long term versus those that are merely temporary irritations. When deciding whether to engage in a battle with your child, ask yourself if this particular behavior will make a difference in a week, month, or year. If not, consider letting it go. Negotiate on issues like curfews or when to do homework, but remain firm on non-negotiable rules involving health, safety, and core values. Be realistic about age-appropriate expectations. Figure out what truly matters to your family, stop constant reminding, which only escalates conflicts, and avoid power plays by explaining your reasoning rather than just demanding compliance. As your children demonstrate good judgment, gradually allow them more autonomy in decision-making. By backing off on less significant issues, you build trust while preserving energy for what truly matters. This approach isn't about being permissive. It's about being strategic and focusing your parental authority where it makes the most difference in your child's development. Involved parenting is the most effective approach to raising responsible children. Parents who closely monitor their children's activities and maintain consistent involvement in their neighborhood and school tend to raise kids who avoid risky behaviors. This hands-on approach requires attention, participation, clear expectations, and fair rules, but differs from authoritative or autocratic parenting by remaining flexible and considering children's individual needs. To become a more hands-on parent, avoid overscheduling your family, follow through consistently with rules you establish, verify your children's plans by communicating with other parents, and be prepared to sacrifice some of your own freedoms to maintain family rules. Relocate computers and TVs to public areas of your home for better monitoring, check that teen gatherings are properly supervised, and model the behavior you expect. According to research, parents who maintain awareness of their children's whereabouts, monitor media consumption, enforce curfews, ensure adult supervision after school, assign chores, and eat meals together raise children at significantly lower risk for substance abuse and other dangerous behaviors.
This approach isn't about hovering or micromanaging. It's about being present, aware, and engaged in your child's life. Children actually feel more secure when parents take an active interest, even if they occasionally complain about the oversight. The security of knowing someone cares enough to set limits provides the foundation children need to develop independence within safe boundaries. Every family has different values and rules, but when it comes to your child's safety and moral development, you must trust your instincts rather than cave to other family standards. The key is distinguishing between negotiable issues, like bedtimes or neatness, and non-negotiable ones, safety and morality. When your child's friends have different rules, take ownership of being the overprotective parent, rather than criticizing others. Communicate your expectations clearly to your child, other parents, and remain firm on important boundaries while allowing some flexibility on minor issues. To navigate differences between your family rules and others, employ these strategies. Take ownership of being overprotective when expressing concerns to other parents. Ensure your child understands your boundaries. Never hesitate to ask about weapons, toy or real, in other homes. Get to know your children's friends and their parents. Allow flexibility on minor issues while standing firm on safety matters. And always insist on knowing the 5 W's, who, what, where, when, why, when your child goes out. Remember that your child's current honesty and responsibility directly correlate with future freedoms they'll earn. Build trust gradually through consistent honesty and good judgment, and don't be afraid to be the parent who says no when your instincts tell you something isn't right. Teaching good manners is essential, not old-fashioned. A child who never learns politeness becomes a teenager who struggles with friendships and an adult who makes poor impressions. Families often develop impolite dynamics because we take each other for granted. We get relationship lazy. We behave rudely with those we love most while being perfectly civil to acquaintances. This happens because family members are stuck with each other regardless of behavior, leading to taking one another for granted. Parents often model poor communication by barking commands at each other without civil conversation, while children develop habits of demanding, insisting, name-calling, or ignoring. Children allowed to grow up with rude, disrespectful behavior are generally disliked by peers, which causes self-esteem problems that become difficult to correct later. To instill politeness in children, parents must teach the magic words, please, thank you, excuse me, through consistent reminders and modeling. Children should be coached to ask rather than demand, using question forms instead of statements. Parents must address tone of voice issues, teaching children they're responsible for both their intent and how they're perceived. The I message technique helps children express frustrations appropriately. I feel frustrated when you borrow my things without asking because I can't find them when I need them. This approach communicates feelings without attacking the other person. Formal introductions, proper telephone etiquette, and politically correct ways to decline invitations are also essential skills children need to navigate social interactions successfully. Excessive praise can be harmful to children's development. When parents shower constant adoration on trivial accomplishments, they create unrealistic expectations that no teacher or future employer can fulfill. Research from Columbia University shows that praising children for effort and hard work helps them value learning opportunities, while praising them for abilities, you're so smart, can backfire. Children given person praise for traits are more likely to display helpless reactions when challenged, while those receiving effort praise develop perseverance and a solid work ethic. The key is to praise the process rather than the person. Be specific about what you're complimenting. Praise often, but not excessively. Love unconditionally, but praise conditionally. And actively look for opportunities to compliment older children's efforts rather than just outcomes. For example, instead of saying, "You're so smart," when a child stacks blocks, try, "Stacking blocks is tough, but you kept trying until you got it." This approach reinforces persistence rather than innate ability, teaching children that effort matters more than natural talent. By praising the work rather than the child, you help develop a growth mindset that will serve them throughout life.
Parents often fail to deliberately develop their child's work ethic, assuming it will naturally emerge. This oversight creates children who avoid challenges, blame others, and produce shoddy work. The entitlement mindset, where children equate wanting with getting, stems from parents who either received unconditionally themselves or felt deprived growing up and now overcompensate by giving their children everything. Your home is the training ground for the real world, where expectations you set prepare children for outside demands. By teaching kids to share financial responsibility and deal with frustrations appropriately, they learn the behavior-consequence connection. You get what you earn. Studies confirm that perseverance, self-discipline, and frustration tolerance, the foundations of work ethic, are learned, not innate. Parents should adapt work expectations to their child's developmental stage. Two-year-olds can clean up toys with timers as motivation. Three-year-olds can handle daily chores, like putting clothes in hampers and helping make beds. Four-year-olds can manage personal hygiene tasks with supervision. Early grade schoolers can prepare for school, help with simple lunches, and complete 15-minute academic tasks. Older grade schoolers can handle homework independently, maintain clean rooms, and help with family chores. Middle schoolers can cook, clean, do yard work, and laundry. High schoolers should be largely self-sufficient, contributing to car expenses if tithing, and learning to budget through clothing allowances. To build a strong work ethic, don't be a peace-at-any-price parent who gives in to whining. Set clear expectations for each child with consistent consequences. Raise the bar as children mature. Preschoolers who can pull toys out can put them back. Treat schoolwork as foundational to work ethic development. Be especially vigilant with smart children who succeed easily, as they may struggle when truly challenged. Start responsibilities early. It's easier to begin good habits with toddlers than break bad ones with teenagers.